I want to show you a few pictures of people that probably most of us know very well. The first picture, and who is this? Barack Obama. Now, what authority does he have? Quite a bit of authority. He probably commands the biggest army or most powerful army in the world. He's the president of the great superpower. So he has great authority. What about the next one? Who's this? Bill Gates. What's special about Bill Gates? He has a few pounds or dollars. One of the richest men in the world. And so when he speaks, people listen to him. So his wealth makes him have great authority. And what about this third man? Who's he? David Attenborough. Now, what's special about him?
National treasure.
Yes, he's been called a national treasure. He's presented programs about the wildlife for over 50 years. And so when he speaks, people listen to him. He has that authority. He's gone all over the world. So all these people have authority because of their position or their wealth or what they've achieved. And it's very difficult to think of those people becoming servants. And so the next picture is somebody washing the feet. Now, the Queen does this symbolically, but to do it as your life, to wash people's feet, to serve them like that, it's difficult to imagine somebody with great authority becoming a servant. And then the last picture, going to the cross, dying like a common criminal. That's very difficult, and that's what we're looking at today. Having authority, but also having great humility. So let's look at the authority of the king. In Mark 1-5, we see that Jesus has great authority over all sorts of people and situations. He has authority over people. And we were looking at that last week, where he comes to the disciples, to Simon and Andrew and James and John, and he says, I want you to leave everything, and I want you to follow me. And they follow him. Now, if somebody came to you today and said, I want you to leave your job. I want you to leave England and come and follow me to Zambia. Would you do it? You would say, no, come on. I need to first think about this. But Jesus has such authority that he says to these people, leave what you're doing, leave your business. They left their fishing business behind. Leave it and come and follow me. And they became his disciples. They began to follow Jesus, and it was an adventure up and down. Now the thing is, Jesus did not call any of them to do what he hadn't done. Jesus had left heaven, and he came down to earth. And Jesus, as he lived on earth, he went through many, many difficulties. So he didn't call his disciples to do something that he wasn't prepared to do. He has authority over people. He has authority to teach. And when he begins to teach, the people say, wow, this is a new teaching. This is somebody teaching with authority. We've never heard anyone teaching like this. Because you see, Jesus knew firsthand what he was talking about. He had come from heaven, he had come from God, and so he could speak about God. Maybe some of you know the book War Horse. Anybody read the book? Anybody seen the film? Quite a few. Anybody seen the play? Right. Now, if you want to understand what Warhorse is all about, the best person to ask is Michael Mupurgo. He wrote the book. So he's the best person to ask, what is this book all about? The best person to ask about life is the author of life, Jesus. He is the one who gave life. So the best person to ask about life, what is God like? How can I obey God? How can I trust God? He is the best person. And so he has authority to teach. We can trust his teaching. He has authority over all human enemies, over evil spirits. And we read of, as Jesus is teaching, suddenly the evil spirit within this man gets disturbed and somehow wants to stop Jesus' teaching. And Jesus tells him to shut up. Shut up and get out. Now, I know you're not supposed to say shut up. But he tells him, be quiet and get out. He has authority over evil spirits. He has authority over disease. And so you have the story of Jesus going to the home of Simon Peter, and his mother-in-law is very ill. And you notice how wonderfully he goes to her, and he just takes her by the hand and lifts her up. So gently lifts her up, and she's healed. Jesus has authority over disease. And in the Gospels, we have 30 examples of Jesus' healing. He has authority over destructive nature. And later on in chapter 4, you read about how the disciples are on the lake, and Jesus is sleeping, and they wake him up, and they say, don't you care if we die? And Jesus stands up, and he says to the wind, be quiet. It's like speaking to a dog. Sit. And the wind sits, and it's quiet. He has authority over destructive nature, and he has authority over death. Jairus' daughter is dead. And it's just like Jesus is going to wake up somebody who's sleeping. He says, she's asleep, but she's died. But you see, to Jesus, he has authority over death, and he can just come and say, wake up, and she gets up. This is somebody with great authority. When he speaks, things happen. When he acts, things are changed. He has great authority. Therefore, we find it difficult when we see the humility of the servant king. He has great authority, but he is also humble. And there are two puzzling things in Mark 1 where we say, why did Jesus do this? The first thing is that he avoids an eager crowd. So we read that the crowd came to him. That evening, the whole town gathered at the door. They were all there. Those who were sick, those who wanted to hear his teaching, they were there. And the next morning, the disciples are all excited and they say, everyone is looking for you. Everybody wants to hear you. So what does Jesus do? He hides and he prays. He finds a quiet place and he's praying. Now, why on earth does Jesus do that? Here's a huge crowd of people. They're waiting to hear his teaching, waiting to be healed, and he goes away and he's praying on his own with God. Why does he do that? Why doesn't he spend more time teaching and healing? It's a puzzle to us. You see, there's a problem we have when we have prayer and action, teaching and healing. We think that it's the healing and the acting that are the important things. Now, they are important. But first of all, there needs to be the praying. And Jesus knew that he was totally dependent on God. If he was going to go and be able to teach and to heal, he needed first to pray. So that's why he goes. And he prays. And I think we forget that. Because we are proud. We think, I can do this. And we don't pray. So Jesus is showing his total dependence on God. But the second thing is, he avoids publicity. He says to people, don't say anything. So he heals the man with leprosy, and he tells him very strongly, don't tell anyone. Go to the high priest. Show him you've been cleansed, you've been healed, but don't tell anyone. And several times through the gospel, that's the same thing we have. Now, why does Jesus do that? You see, he's not following the agenda of others. He's following the agenda of God. He's doing what God wants him to do. And he's serving people. Someone has said that you can tell the difference between someone who is building an empire and somebody who is there to serve. Somebody who's building an empire comes and says, here I am. I'm the one to sort things out. I'm here. And the focus is all on me. I saw an example of this when we were in Zambia. And there were some people who came from Sweden to help on the mission station where my parents were. Now, my father had been there almost 50 years. And here were these people coming from Sweden. And it's as if they were saying, nothing's happened in the last 50 years. Now, we're coming here to sort things out, to really do something. We're going to explode things here. Well, there were a few explosions, but they didn't last very long, and they went back to Sweden very quickly. They didn't last. But you see, what they were saying was, here I am, here we are, we're here to really build something. Whereas the servant, their attitude is, there you are. How can I help you? How can I serve you? What is it you need? And as they look at whatever they're leading, they're thinking about the needs of other people. And the focus is on other people and serving them. And that's what we see in Jesus. He's avoiding publicity. He's not saying, I'm here to build up my reputation. I've come here not to be served, but to serve. So authority and humility come together. One of the wonderful places where we see this is in John 13, verse 3 to 5. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Notice what it says. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. All authority, all power was given to him. What does he do? He kneels and washes the disciples' feet. Authority and humility going together. And of course, the place where you see it most clearly is the cross. The cross is where we see the greatest power the world has ever seen. Defeating sin, defeating death, defeating all the powers of evil, the greatest power the world has ever seen, but also the greatest humility the world has ever seen, where God himself dies like a criminal, nailed to a cross. Those two things belong together. Just a little example. When you think about a pair of scissors, we don't have any here, but you've got the two blades of the scissors. If you only have the one blade, you're not going to cut anything. You have to have the two blades of the scissors. And so the power, the authority, and the humility together are what is powerful. Jesus is the King with all authority. Therefore, every one of us needs to bow down before him, submit to him, repent, say, "You're the King. I want to follow your way." But Jesus is the servant King who gave his life for us. And so we want to love him, and we want to thank him, and we want to follow him, and we want to learn from him. That's what he was like. That's what our master was like. That's what we need to be like. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the example that you've set us. And we thank you that although you had all authority and power, you came to serve us by giving your life for us. Help us to submit to you every day, and help us to follow your example as we serve others. Amen.